On this Veterans Day, remembering World War I, no veterans are left from that first war to end all wars that gripped the nation 100 years ago, but starting this evening, a number of Cincinnati institutions are pulling together for a citywide series of community events as Cincinnati remembers World War I, and at the forefront of the effort is the Cincinnati Opera and Artistic Director Evans Miragis, who conceived this series of programs and is joining me in the studio now to share his vision with you. Welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you very much.
Well, Cincinnati Remembers World War I begins this evening, which is Veterans Day, the 95th anniversary of the end of that war. Performance of All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914, featuring the Cantus Vocal Ensemble. And it continues through July of 2014 with the Cincinnati Opera production of the new opera, Silent Night. But where did this whole year-long collaboration come from?
It began on the opening night of Silent Night at Minnesota Opera a couple of years ago. I happened to be in the opening night audience, and when the performance ended and the theater erupted in an incredible ovation, I ran to the parking lot and called Patty Beggs, our CEO and general director, and said, "Patty, we have to do this opera, because I've never been so moved and uplifted by a contemporary opera, beautifully sung, full of great and touching music, but also, of course, telling a story that probably most people don't know, that on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, in the first year of that horrible war, time stopped. The soldiers, not the generals, the soldiers decided amongst themselves that they had more in common as human beings than they had as enemy soldiers. And they crawled out of their trenches. They buried their dead. They said prayers. They played soccer, football, exchanged Christmas gifts. And for 24 hours, the world was at peace. And then it had to start all over again on December 26th. And there was never another truce in World War I. The opera is so powerful that I said to Patty, we have to do this opera. And the first opportunity to do it would be the summer of 2014. And then the penny dropped. I said, oh, good Lord, it's the 100th anniversary of the commencement of the war. Now, for Americans, that's a little different because, of course, we didn't enter the war as a country until April 1917.
Right.
But the war began on the 28th of June, 1914, when Archduke Franz Ferdinand, the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, was assassinated on the steps of the Sarajevo Town Hall. And he was assassinated, ironically, by a Serbian nationalist by the name of Gavrilo Princip. And they got the wrong guy, because actually, Archduke Franz Ferdinand was against any sort of war against Serbia. But they didn't know that. He was just a figurehead and he had to go. And that set in motion this terrible set of treaties and agreements all across Europe that led to, 2 months later, the cataclysm that we now call World War I. So with that in mind, I said, oh my goodness, we live in perhaps the most proudly German heritage city in the country. I mean, Cincinnati's German heritage is terrific because I'm not abashed or I'm not also aggrandizing it when I say that because of our German heritage from the 19th century, we have the culture that we have in Cincinnati today.
Indeed.
Those men and women who came over principally after the revolutions of 1848 gave Cincinnati its cultural life, its love of song, which led to the May Festival, its love of hard work, which led to PNG, its love of being open and welcoming, which led to its incredible diverse population over the last century and a half, and created one of the most magical neighborhoods in the country we now call Over the Rhine. So German heritage in Cincinnati is a cornerstone of who we are as a city. But of course, on the advent of World War I, when America finally did join the war in 1917, the Germans had a tough time of it. There was a lot of anti-German hysteria. Dogs were kicked in the street. All the streets in Over the Rhine that had German names were changed. You'll see an incredible plaque down at Findlay Market outside of Krause's Delicatessen that chronicles the anti-German hysteria of 1917. The music director of the CSO was fired and run out of town. Now, from our perspective, 100 years later, we find this somewhat bizarre, perhaps, but not really. In the name of ethnic cleansing, look what's happened in Eastern Europe in the last 25 years. That's far more horrifying than what happened in Cincinnati. But the fact of the matter remains is that we had a difficult time with that war as a city. We were patriotic, and we sent thousands and thousands of Ohioans to France and to fight the war. So I wanted to create something that would focus the city on our contribution to one of the events that changed history, not only our citizens, but our arts. So I began talking to colleagues. You know, one of the beautiful things about Cincinnati is that we're just big enough, but just small enough, so that we can collaborate and cooperate on things where in a larger city it would never be possible. This could never happen in New York. It could never happen in Washington or Chicago. The cities are just too vast. There's just too much going on. But Cincinnati has the beauty of a rich love of its cultural life, of its academic life. And so every time I started talking to a fellow arts presenter or the folks at UC or the people at Hebrew Union College or our friends at Concert Nova or the CSO, you name it, I've talked to 18 different organizations and more are coming out of the woodwork now. I didn't get through the first sentence and they said, we've got to do something. We simply have to do something. So there has been this juggernaut of enthusiasm within the city of Cincinnati to remember the time-shattering event of World War I and the part that Cincinnati played in it.
And this is more than music. I was amazed at looking at these events and all these organizations that are involved. As you know, you just mentioned a handful of them, but it really is all the way across the spectrum. And it's not just music or concerts. There's lectures. There are art exhibits. It's amazing.
What has happened, of course, is that we have discovered a truism. War touches every aspect of a person's life. And with World War I, we also found ourselves as a world, particularly the Western world, at the end of a period of incredible creativity. From about 1880 to the beginning of World War I was one of the greatest flowerings of all sorts of art and culture across the Western world. It's the Belle Époque. It's the Expressionist movement. It's Gustav Mahler and Arnold Schoenberg. And let's remember, Brahms was alive until nearly 1900. And Verdi was writing his last operas. And Arthur Schnitzler was writing his poetry and his amazing plays. And Sigmund Freud was beginning his practice as a psychoanalyst. I mean, it's an incredible time in world history that all seems to, like some terrible stone rolling off a cliff, point to World War I. So what we have in our sister organizations of, for example, UC, I bet most people don't know that our College of Medicine was one of the first universities to have a College of Medicine because what we learned on the battlefields of World War I sparked a desire to have medicine taught in a university atmosphere. Not only that, UC remains one of the major institutions to this day studying post-traumatic stress syndrome, all as a result of what we learned about what they called shell shock in World War I. That's just one aspect. Hebrew Union College. There's a moment in the opera which is so telling, and it's these little microcosms that happen in the opera that I'm so proud of for Kevin Putz and his librettist Mark Campbell, who crafted it from the film. There's a moment when after the soldiers come out of their trenches, the Scottish lieutenant is asking the German lieutenant, so, what do you think of your first Christmas of World War I? And the German lieutenant says, it's the first Christmas of my life. I'm Jewish. And what we don't know is that nearly 30,000 men served as officers who were Jewish in the Kaiser's army and in the German army, and the Austrian army, rather, because it was the patriotic thing to do. And Jews at that point, for that one brief moment in the German-speaking world, were assimilated. After the release of the racial laws around 1880 or so, for a brief moment, the Jewish population of Western Europe enjoyed a tremendous freedom and integration into society. Of course, it would all end with the rise of National Socialism. But for that moment, they were part of the fatherland's cause. It's all of these little things that go into the opera that sometimes just sort of come in and come out of the opera that make it both an epochal event and incredibly human and incredibly personal. So one of the things that is so exciting for me about all of these events is that the Art Museum is doing a special exhibit on Expressionism. our wonderful museum center, as part of the History Museum of Cincinnati, has a priceless collection of World War I recruitment posters. The Taft Museum has a wonderful collection of art. We have so many partners in the city that have said, after we've announced it, oh, by the way, what about me? What about me?
Yes.
One of our major theater companies just approached me and says, we need to do a reading of a World War I play, and we're just sorry we didn't get on a bandwagon earlier. I love this, because it goes back to what I said earlier. Only in Cincinnati could an event of this national and international magnitude be coordinated in a collaborative fashion by the city's leaders. Which makes me proud to be a Cincinnatian, because we do it here. We don't just give lip service to these events. We do it.
Quickly, we only have a moment or so left. It all begins this evening, 7 o'clock, Christchurch Cathedral. Cantus Vocal Ensemble and a theater group putting on All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914. And that really makes it very circular between now and then when the opera Silent Night is premiered here in Cincinnati in July of 2014. Talk about what Cantus and friends are doing tonight.
This is such a beautiful way to both remember World War I and also perhaps begin your journey to this wonderful holiday season, this time of year when we pause and reflect on all the things for which we are grateful. From Thanksgiving until the Christmas holiday time, it's a time of reflection. And this beautiful program is the true story of what happened in 1914. It's actual letters from the front, press reports, newly unclassified documents from the various militaries that are read by two actors, interspersed with the music of the various cultures. And Silent Night is part of it. And French carols, and German songs, and popular music from the Broadway stage of 1914. It's this wonderful musical tapestry in the incredible atmosphere of Christchurch in downtown Cincinnati that I think will put you in the spirit of this time of year in a beautiful way, and also remind you that wars are fought by people. They may be organized by their superiors, and they may be motivated by political and world events, but the people actually make the sacrifices. And so it is a wonderful personalizing way, with some of the most beautiful music ever written, to enter into the spirit of the season and to remember an event that changed the world forever.
Evans Barajas, the Artistic Director of the Cincinnati Opera, which is spearheading Cincinnati Remembers World War I, a citywide series of community events that begins this evening at Christ Church Cathedral downtown with All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914, featuring the Cantus Vocal Ensemble, and begins at 7 o'clock, free to veterans and active military service men and women. This is Cincinnati Edition, 91.7 WVXU.